Well, good evening, and welcome those of us here and those of us online. We're going to start out praising the Lord this evening with "You Are Good." Stand if you can. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. And you are good. Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. And Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Amen.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great great, how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing, how great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God.
Praise the Lord. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody else have a pick of him this evening? 83. All right. There's something about that name, 83. Oh, yeah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others this evening? $5.99. All righty. Jesus is Lord of all. $5.99. All right. Let's see here. I don't know. I'm trying to get the tune. If you know it, hum a few bars. $5.99, Jesus is Lord of all. Okay. Okay, so maybe we haven't sang it before if it's not in the computer. Okay. I might have to learn that one. Wherever he leads, I'll go. $5.98, you want to do that one right across the page? Okay. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your all today. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know. And in that will I now abide. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. It may be through the shadows dim, or o'er the stormy sea. I take the cross and follow him wherever he leadeth me. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. My heart, my life, my all I bring to Christ who loves me so. He is my Master, Lord, and King. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others?
All right, all right. Very good. My soul. Good to see each and every one of you back here this evening for our Sunday evening Bible study and prayer time. Have any praises out there tonight? Any praises? Yes, Miss Loopy. Loopy has a praise. Come on, Miss Loopy.
Well, last week we prayed that my sister would get the PET scan and the insurance would cover it. Well, they ran it through and the insurance had denied it.
Yep.
They denied it.
Right.
The very next day they called her back and they said, we don't know what happened, but they decided to cover it. They covered the PET scan, which is rare for what, because it's a second one.
Mrs. Rosemary. Yeah.
But she just wanted me to tell y'all that it worked.
Yeah, amen.
That, I mean, like, they just turned it right around, and they covered it.
PET scan, man. All right. She doesn't know what the PET scan reveals, though, yet.
Not yet.
All right. Any other praises?
Praise the day for this beautiful day. Praise the Lord for this beautiful day. Yeah. It's a nice day today. A little cool there, T. Got a little cool, though.
Yeah, a little cool, but beautiful, nonetheless. All right, all right. What else? Beautiful day. PET scan. Anybody else got another praise? All right, let's move on then. Prayer requests.
All right. Anybody got
anything? All right, Miss Lucy.
I have a couple. Kelsey Stambaugh, we had Hoppy's funeral here. Well,
yeah.
The Lord's been dealing with her heart, and she said she's wanting to come to church. And my sister Rosemary keeps running into her, and so she's and so anyway. So I invited her this morning, and she had extra kids with her and couldn't come because she couldn't fit them. And I said, next time you need to, I'll go and help you.
I'll help you get them.
So
kids.
She's just saying that the Lord's just really working on her heart. So pray that she will come and just get in, for her salvation or whatever she needs.
Yes.
Also, Robert's starting a new job at HEB,
okay.
And he is in the meat and cutting meat, and he did that a long time ago.
Really?
He did that. He stepped down from Hobby Lobby and took a job that would provide him with less hours to work and insurance though, and because he's starting his own business with the quail and the herbs, so he needed time to do that.
Okay.
And so God worked it all out, and it's just amazing how he did it. But anyway, he starts tomorrow.
So what HEB is he at?
At 2920 and 45.
Okay. Because not all of them have a meat market where they cut the meat.
Right.
Yeah, good for him, man. That's great. All right. Robert, new job, HEB. All right, all right. What else? What else?
All right. Ronnie's got one.
Pastor, we're playing for church growth this year.
That's
the thing we're going to try to do this whole year. We got with the leadership and teachers meeting at Sunday school. We got some plans scheduled to do that.
Amen.
You know, hot dog day, game day, all kind of stuff out there, horseshoes or something. We just got to get the community involved with this church. So
okay.
We plan on doing a lot of outreach this year.
Amen, brother. All right. What else? Miss Alita. I've
got Miss Alita here.
Please pray for Ronnie on his test he's going to have on Friday. He's also have, what else you got?
Test on Friday.
He's got a lot of doctor visits this week.
A lot of doctor's visits this week. Yeah. All right.
And continue to pray for Ronnie Holman, Miss Socorro. Miss Barbara McNew.
All right, Barbara McNew. Ron Holman. All right. All right, Miss Debbie.
They're going to go down Paul's throat with a
endoscope.
Scope.
Yep.
This week, so okay. Just pray about that.
Scope. All right, what are I? Anything else?
I know you got Steph's dad on there
Steph's
already.
Steph's dad?
Yeah, we pray for Larry and Stephanie and the family for tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. And we pray for our, who? Oh, the wedding.
Yeah,
and
wedding.
You in the wedding. You too. We're gonna pray for you for that wedding. Amen.
Safe travels
and everything. And good time. Good rest.
And
hopefully the boat is not named Titanic.
No, this is one of Walt and Don's favorite ships. They like this ship we're going on.
Yeah.
And the sunrise.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. We pray for that. And
I don't know. We don't know yet. So it all depends on how the wind blows and how fast the boat's moving.
We lift up John in his back. I'm sure his back's still bothering his health. You know, he's got some health issues, too. So we lift John up to you.
All right, all right.
And, Isaiah.
Isaiah.
Isaiah. Out of Arkansas. Isaiah out of Arkansas, yeah. He's got the mic.
I know you preach as part of the salvation. We don't know what happens tomorrow. And Pastor Carl up there in Darnell, Arkansas, talked about 6 years ago his son was coming off a championship football season in his senior year of high school and never would have thought that his son would be in a wheelchair.
Oh, wow.
So that we never know. But he's getting good therapy up there. He's getting a little bit of feeling in his toes. So hopefully God will just work slowly on this young man.
And amen, man.
Be a testimony to his parents as well as the community.
Yes. All right, anybody else?
Yeah, I want to lift up Kevin.
Okay.
Got his struggles with addiction.
Okay.
And my mom, she's doing well, but she's there by herself. Just pray for her well-being.
Lift up Jeanette.
That's all I got.
Amen, amen. All right, let's get to it. Amen? All right. We'll go to the Lord in prayer here this evening. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we're thankful that we have an opportunity, Lord, to meet together, to be in your word, to sing these praises to your name, Lord, and to enter into this time of intercessory prayer. Thank you, Lord, that we can bear one another's burdens, that we can celebrate each other's victories, Lord, and offer praise, Lord, when we hear these praise reports. First of all, and most assuredly, Lord, we want to praise you tonight for that grace that you've bestowed upon us, that mercy, the salvation that we have by your blood. Lord, we praise you and thank you for that. We thank you for keeping us for all eternity. We thank you for the plans that you've made for us in the future. We thank you and praise you for how you're working through our lives at this time, even as we speak, even as we sit here this evening, even as we receive this word tonight. May we have that confidence, Lord, that you're working in us and working with us, and, Lord, helping us even in spite of ourselves. So, Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we think about this praise report from Loopy about her sister and this PET scan that was denied that just miraculously turned around and now the insurance has paid for it, Lord, we just give you the praise and glory and the honor and just a testimony of the power of prayer. People binding their hearts together, interceding on behalf of another, and Lord, finding that lines up with your perfect will. So we just praise you and thank you for that. We do thank you for the beautiful day we had today. And Lord, it's always good to see the sun. And Lord, feel the warmth through the car glass, even though it's not warm outside. It's just good to see the sun. It's a beautiful day today. So we praise you and thank you for that. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests, we pray for Kelsey Stanball. We pray that you might lead, guide, and direct her to this church, Lord, and if not this church, to another Bible-preaching, Jesus-loving church. But Lord, we pray that you might get her back in church, her and her kids, her family. And Lord, may that be a start of a revival of salvations within that family and people that they know. And so, Lord, we just pray in advance that you might send visitors like Kelsey and other visitors to our church, Lord. So we just give that prayer request up to you. Lord, we pray for Robert as he gets ready to start this new job. Help him as he transitions, Lord, and gets back doing something that he did many, many years ago at this HEB. And, Lord, we're just praying for safety. We're just praying that it's a good fit. Father God, we're just praying he's able to do everything that he needs to do at that new job. So, Lord, we give you praise for that position, praise for that job. We're praying that you help him in this time of transition. Lord, we are lifting up church growth this year. Lord, we pray that you might send those folks to us that desperately need a church home. And Father God, send folks to us that don't know they need a church home. And Lord, may they get bit by the Holy Spirit, get bit by the bug, the gospel, and receive Christ in this very place. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor for that. Help us be on the lookout for those folks and help us invite those folks in the highways and the byways and doctor's offices, the different places we go. Father God, we just pray we'd be a witness for you as we outreach. Lord, we lift up Brother Ronnie as he gets ready to undergo a whole bunch of tests this coming week and then a big test on Friday. We pray that you just help him undergo all that stuff. And Lord, we pray you give his physicians wisdom and discernment on how best to treat him. We pray that this test on Friday does not reveal anything serious. Father God, we pray that he get a clean bill of health from this test coming this Friday. We continue to pray for Mrs. Coro and Miss Barbara McNew. We pray for their strength, and we pray, Lord, that you help them each and every day and just keep them encouraged and watch over them. And along with them, the rest of our shut-ins, Lord, we pray for them and lift them up to you. And thank you that they're part of our church, and thank you they're able to participate in a live stream. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you for that ministry to them, their ministry back to us. We praise you and thank you for our shut-ins. And then Ronnie Holman, we continue to pray for his healing from cancer, God. Touch his life, touch his body. Help him, Lord, heal him up from this cancer and set him free. Give him that testimony of healing that he so desperately desires, him and Nancy. And just be with Ronnie as they go through that. And then we lift up Debbie's husband, Paul, as he gets ready to undergo an endoscope test this coming week. We pray that that test would not reveal anything serious, that you would give his gastroenterologist that wisdom and discernment on how best to treat him. As we prayed this morning, we continue to pray for for Larry Field, Stephanie's dad, my father-in-law. We pray, as we did this morning, that you guide the surgeon's hand, Lord. You be with the anesthesiologist. Just allow Larry's body to withstand all the different procedures he's going to have tomorrow morning. And Lord, we pray that you would bring him through it with no infections or blood clots or anything like that, God. Just see him through and help him get through and back onto the path of healing. We lift up Trevor and Isabel and their upcoming wedding, Lord, at sea. And we just pray that you bring those plans together. And that, Lord, we pray in advance you'd be in the middle of that service, as it is going to be a Christian service. And, Lord, we pray that as we bring those two lives together and you form a new home out of it, Lord, we pray that it bring glory and honor to your name as two Christians unite in holy wedlock. We continue to pray for John's back. Lord, touch his body. Give that back rest. We pray when it wrenches up, Lord, he'd be able to get some relief from it. And, Father God, find out what's causing the problem and figure out how to quit doing what's causing the problem, Lord. So we pray you help him with that back. Touch that part of his body and bring healing to him. And then, Lord, we lift up Isaiah in Arkansas, this young man who is wheelchair-bound and receiving therapy. We praise you that he's getting some feeling back in his toes. And, Lord, we pray if it be your perfect will that you might give this young man his ability to walk back, that you might restore him fully, might give him feeling in all of his legs and bring that part of his spine and nerves back together and in a miraculous way and bring that ultimate healing back to him. If not, we pray you give him the grace and the strength and the mercy to withstand what he's got to go through. But, Lord, we lift him up to you. We know you're the great God of healing. We pray for a miracle of healing in his life. So, Lord, we lift Isaiah up to you, praying a big prayer for him. Pray you might touch his body. We believe you're the God of healing. You are the great physician, the greatest physician ever. So, Lord, when doctors don't know, you do know. When doctors are confused, you're not. And so, Lord, we just praying on his behalf, you might give him his ability to walk again. We lift up Kevin to you tonight. We pray for his issues of addiction, Lord, and we pray you might give him a support group. You might give him a sponsor that would help him, Lord, where he's struggling. Hold him accountable and help him and walk through this issue with him. Lord, we just pray that you would help him find a group that will help him stay quit and help him with these struggles. We lift up Jeanette to you tonight, James's mom. We pray for her general well-being, her mobility, and just her safety as she's there living alone. Lord, watch over her. Lead, guide, and direct her. We thank you for your word tonight. Lord, thank you that we can be in it. And we just give you the praise and the glory for all you're going to do with it in us. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said. All right, take a copy of God's word. Let's turn to the book of Leviticus. We'll begin reading here in 5:17. And take it through chapter 6, verse 7. 5:17. And we'll take it through chapter 6, verse 7. That's Leviticus. Those of you with us online, good to have you as well. Leviticus chapter 5, beginning in verse 17. The Word of God reads, "Now if a person sins and does any of the things which the Lord has commanded not to be done, though he was unaware, still he is guilty and shall bear his punishment. He is then to bring to the priest a ram without defect from the flock according to your valuation for a guilt offering. So the priest shall make atonement for him concerning his error in which he sinned unintentionally and did not know it, and it will be forgiven him. It is a guilt offering. He was certainly guilty before the Lord." Chapter 6, verse 1. "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, when a person sins and acts unfaithfully against the Lord and deceives his companion in regard to a deposit or a security entrusted to him or through robbery, or if he has extorted from his companion or has found what was lost and lied about it and sworn falsely so that he sins in regard to any one of the things a man may do, then it shall be when he sins and becomes guilty that he shall restore what he took by robbery or what he got by extortion or the deposit which was entrusted to him or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he swore falsely, he shall make," what's that word? restitution for it in full, and add to it one-fifth more. He shall give it to the one to whom it belongs on the day he presents his guilt offering. Then he shall bring to the priest his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any one of the things which he may have done to incur guilt. Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Now, we're working through all of the passages that deal with the guilt offering. We read last time, I want to say 5, 1 through 16. I want to say we got there. We might have got further. I cannot remember. But we worked our way down to chapter 6, verse 7. This coming Wednesday night, we'll pick it back up in chapter 7 and read some more on through and try to cover all of these passages that deal with the guilt offering. What did we say last time when we met on Wednesday night? We said guilt is a complex subject that affects how many of us? It affects all of us, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. We said guilt is universal, right? We talked about how all emotions have been warped by sin. We said just as there are those who develop sinful anger patterns or are too fearful, there are those who have destructive guilt. Then again, there are others who do not feel guilty enough. So, as we said those things on Wednesday night, we begin to transition to this evening. And so, as we begin this study of the guilt offering, as found in Leviticus, what seems to be clear is that a proper balance, what we're talking about, and I believe we did mention this as well on Wednesday evening, a proper balance must be the goal to which we strive for our mental, emotional, and spiritual health. You get too far with guilt, and guilt pretty much debilitates you, or you cannot have any guilt, and something going on there, right? You got to find a healthy balance. We talked about training that muscle, right? Training that thing so it lets us know when we need to, what? Repent and confess, right? So, as we begin this evening, the guilt offering and the sin offering, right? Leviticus chapters 4 through 7 present the sin and guilt offerings. The two things, or the two themes, are intermingled throughout chapters 4 and 7. Thus, the Bible, contrary to our modern culture, closely ties sin and guilt together. Ties those two things together. Now, let's look at how both relate to each other in the following text. If you'll look at chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 with me. 5, 5, and 6. Look back a chapter, I guess. Chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. The Word of God reads what? It reads this. So it shall be, when he becomes guilty in one of these, that he shall confess that in which he has sinned. He shall also bring his guilt offering to the Lord for his sin, which he has committed, a female from the flock, a lamb or a goat, as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf for his sin. Now jump down to verse 15. If a person acts unfaithfully and sins intentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation, in silver by shekels, in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary, for a guilt offering. Notice those two passages. Notice how they read. Notice what they communicate. On the one hand, if a person is guilty, then he may need to bring a sin offering. You see that? You see that what's going on? On the other hand, if a person sins, then he may need to bring a what? A guilt offering. You get it? The two concepts are seemingly inseparable. Now, the guilt offering and the sin offering, how those two themes intermingle. Secondly tonight, guilt offerings in Israel's history. The Bible describes a number of occasions when guilt offerings were made. I'm going to give you a few examples. A guilt offering was part of the ceremonial cleansing of a leper. A guilt offering was required when a man or woman under a Nazirite vow, they had taken the vow of the Nazirite, came in contact with a dead animal or a person and unintentionally broke their vow. Because a Nazirite wasn't supposed to be what? Wasn't supposed to be touching nothing dead, right? The most interesting illustration is told in 1 Samuel chapter 6. Let's turn there, all right? 1 Samuel chapter 6. That's my history books. 1 Samuel, 1 Sam, 1 Sam, 1 Sam. Get there, get there. Too far. 9. What's going on in 1 Samuel chapter 6, preacher? What's going on in 1 Samuel 6? The Philistines had done what? They had captured the Ark of God. Their excitement, however, turned to dismay as problems mounted from their having the Ark of God in their possession. Did not belong to them. They were not the chosen people of God. In particular, a bunch of pagans, in particular, their god Dagon kept falling over. They'd put Dagon back up on his stand. They'd walk away, shut the doors of the little temple, come back the next day. Nobody'd been in there. Dagon'd be on the ground. They'd pick Dagon back up, put him back on his little pedestal, come back the next day. Where'd Dagon? Dagon on the ground. Not only that, the people suffered from tumors. Their recourse, they figured it out. Their recourse, they got a clue. Their recourse was to invent a guilt offering, presumably for sinning against the Lord's holy things. Chapter 6, verses 1 and 5. Now the ark of the Lord had been in the country of the Philistines 7 months. 1 Samuel 6, 1. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us how we shall send it to its place." They said, "If you send away the ark of God of Israel, do not send it empty, but you shall surely return to him a guilt offering. Then you will be healed, and it will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then they said, "What shall be the guilt offering which we shall return to him?" They said, 5 golden tumors and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines. For one plague was on all of you and on your lords. That sounds kind of interesting, doesn't it? So you shall make likenesses of your tumors and likenesses of your mice that ravage the land, and you shall give glory to the God of Israel. Perhaps he will ease his hand from you, your gods, and your land. Making sense? All right. Another example related at the end of the book of Ezra, talking about these guilt offerings within the history of Israel. I'll take you through it, give you the synopsis here. The exiles had returned from their captivity, and guilt and sin offerings had been made. Afterwards, however, the leaders came to Ezra and told him that the priests, the Levites, and others within the group had married foreign wives. Had married foreign wives. Ezra chapter 9, verse 2 reads this: "For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy race has intermingled with the peoples of the lands. Indeed, the hands of the princes and the rulers have been foremost in this unfaithfulness." So the people at the top were the ones committing the sin. Ezra was so distraught at the marrying of the racial purity of the intermarrying of the racial purity of Israel that he literally pulled his own hair out of his head. He asked the Levites to repent and put away their foreign wives. Many offered guilt offerings, and they perhaps had sinned without knowledge or had violated the holy things of God. You see the theme here? I keep mentioning the holy things. The holy things. That's going to kind of come in play as we get ready to close it out this evening. The holy things of God. Well, what was the holy thing that they were sinning against here, priest? They were sinning against the holy race. The Jews, right? God chose them, holy people, holy race, right? That's a little bit of the guilt offerings in Israel's history. Let's think about the structure of our text as we kind of get into it tonight and unpack the guilt offering. The passages in Leviticus that concern the guilt offering have the following structure. Leviticus chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, we've read. The guilt offering is required for violating the Lord's holy things. Leviticus 5, 17 through 19, the guilt offering is required when one sins without knowing it. Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, the guilt offering is required for extortion or robbery, whereby one makes restitution plus one-fifth. That is correct. Right? Still with me? Amen? Leviticus chapter 7, 1 through 6, the details of the guilt offering. Now, I've kind of mentioned the theme for the night, holy things of God. The Lord's holy things, right? The Lord's holy things. Leviticus chapter 5, 14 through 16. Then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, Leviticus 5, 14, if a person acts unfaithfully and sins unintentionally against the Lord's holy things, then he shall what? Bring his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to evaluation, in silver by shekels in terms of the shekel of the sanctuary for a guilt offering. He shall make restitution for that which he has sinned against the holy thing, and shall add to it a fifth part of it, and give it to the priest. The priest shall then make atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering, and it will be forgiven him. Now, in the midst of this, what am I trying to do? I'm trying to build a culture here whereby you see and appreciate the holy things of God. Because when we get to the holy things of God, say per se the Lord's Supper, you really can't lean in on people and dog them. What are you doing talking like that? We're trying to participate in the Lord's Supper. What are you doing? I mean, you can't do that. The culture has to be there so that when you come to the what? The holy time, that people just what? They get it. So you got to be the emissaries, right? Because we don't have a whole church here tonight. Well, preacher, why don't you preach this on Sunday morning? Might do it, right? Might do it. But you got to be the emissaries and talk about, hey, man, there's some holy things. There's some holy things that sometimes we as Christians do what? Yeah, kind of take for granted, right? Don't want to do that. Amen? So the Lord's holy things, kind of Old Testament, Lord's holy things, think about guilt offering. What are the Lord's holy things? Well, the Lord's name is holy. Yes, yes? His name is holy. Now, we're commanded to not misuse or take the name in vain, correct? Swearing falsely by the name of the Lord violates and it brings dishonor to the Lord, right? In the Lord's Prayer, we pray for the sanctity of the Lord's name. Hallowed be that name, we're supposed to pray. Amen? Make sense? Yes? The Sabbath was to be kept holy. Now, that's Saturday. After the resurrection, we do what? Sunday. Amen? I told my wife, she'd been working me like a dog on that house. I said, not today, sister. We keeping Sunday holy. She goes, you can't go up there and put no more mud on the walls. I go, sister, these fingers getting a break today. Ain't no, and I'm telling you, those of you that have worked with drywall, mud, and sheetrock, I had no idea, Brother John, that stuff is abrasive. Had no idea. I've been rubbing my hand, trying to, does that need any more mud right there? Is that smooth? And I noticed my fingers starting to crack and bleed. What am I doing? Right? Amen. And then James, I'm cleaning my sheetrock knives, you know, my little mud knives and everything. And I'm going, oh, there's a piece of mud right there. Let me get that off there. I took my finger and went down my, sliced that finger right open. My wife heard me scream. She goes, what'd you do? I cut my finger. She goes, do you need stitches? I go, I hope not. I didn't need stitches. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, one day is God's. It's Sunday. Yes? It's Sunday, right? The Sabbath was to be kept holy. An unintentional Sabbath violation would be one of the things that required a guilt offering. The offerings and the temple rites were holy. As we think about guilt offering time, as we think about a temple economy going on during this time, as we think about what we're going through in Leviticus, much of the temple ceremony dealt with maintaining its holy character. Yes, yes? Amen? So an improperly trained priest, and I've seen some improperly trained New Testament pastors when it comes to the Lord's Supper and other things, but an improperly trained priest could violate any part of the ordinance and be guilty. Leviticus 19 directs that any remains of the peace offering was to be burned on the third day. Now, we've already read this passage, but let's be reminded of it. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus 19. As you turn there, or you can listen to me read it. Verses 7 and 8. So if it is eaten at all on the third day, it is an offense. It will not be accepted. Everyone who eats it will bear his iniquity, for he has profaned the holy things of the Lord, and that person shall be cut off from his people, right? What else? National purity was holy. The Israelites were to be holy just as their Lord God was holy. Not maintaining purity in their worship of the one true God and their intermarrying, they violated the Lord's holy things, right? So, let's get here. What are some of the Lord's holy things for Christians? What are some of the Lord's holy... Well, Old Testament, the Lord's name. New Testament, guess what? The Lord's name. The Lord's name, right? The Lord's name. As stated earlier, Jesus taught us to pray, hallowed be thy name. Number two, the gospel. The gospel. Paul says in Galatians 1:8, but even if we... or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. Right? So think about that. Think about that. Because there's a lot going on out there in the world today where the gospel has been prostituted, where the gospel has been truncated, where the gospel has been watered down, where the gospel has been cut off at the knees, where they've taken all kinds of things out of the gospel and made it unicorns and rainbows, right? I want to tell you, that's a holy thing you ought not mess with. Yeah. He is to be, as Paul says, is to be accursed. Now, what else, preacher? Well, you got the Lord's name, you've got his gospel. Maybe you've not thought about this for a while, but our bodies. As Paul says again in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. And then fourthly tonight, we'll end it with this one. And that, I've already mentioned it, is the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14 and following, Paul associates the table of the Lord and partaking of it with the most holy offerings in Leviticus. Now, let's look at that for ourselves here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I mentioned. 1 Corinthians 10, or you can listen to me read it, it's okay. 1 Corinthians 10. Ooh, that's a big chapter. There I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. Right? 1 Corinthians, am I in the right book? I am. Verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, free from idolatry, I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar. There is more to be said about the holiness of the Lord's Supper. Look at 1 Corinthians 11:27. You've heard this one before, I'm sure. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 11:27. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, we make a big emphasis of not partaking of the Lord's table with unconfessed sin, or that in order to take the Lord's Supper, we talk about having our hearts cleaned up, confessing any known sin, keeping our sin account short. But let's dive a little bit deeper, shall we? Let's figure out why that is. Friends, if we take what we've covered this evening, the reason is because the Lord's table, when we come and observe it, is one of the most holy things of the Lord. One of the most holy things. Now, I'm certainly not saying there is some kind of transubstantiation of the elements whereby our Catholic friends believe that when they receive the bread and the cup, it actually and literally turns into the actual flesh and blood of Christ. We're not talking about transubstantiation of the elements when we serve the Lord's table, but it is most holy for us. Paul clearly associates this with the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul says it is a participation in the body and the blood of Christ. And through the one loaf, it is a communion among us with fellow believers. So, this is what I think. I think we recognize that the Lord's Supper is emblematic or representative of the Lord's death and resurrection. We recognize it as one of the symbols of our salvation. It is there are only two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. But I think sometimes, we lose sight of the fact that it's also holy. Amen? And so that's kind of the culture we need to kind of fluff up. Kind of the culture we need to think about, right? Holy. We don't want to profane. We want to bring glory and honor. Amen? Amen. We'll end it there. And hopefully you folks online and you folks here will be back with us on Wednesday evening. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your holiness. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge, for the command to be holy as you are holy. And Lord, as we struggle with the flesh each and every day, we seek to keep short sin accounts. But Lord, we seek to be, propagate and to encourage and to have a culture whereby when we come to the Lord's table, it is truly a holy time. Lord, we know you meeting with us in a special way at the Lord's table. Your presence is here when we gather and we preach the word. But Lord, when it comes to that ordinance, it's a special time. So Lord, we praise you and we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we get to do it quarterly, 5 times a year. We praise you for those opportunities. And so, Lord, we pray in advance as we think about the next opportunity to observe the table. We pray in advance that it would be a holy time, that it would be a reverent time, that it would be a worshipful time, that it would be a time of unity and a time of bringing glory and honor to your name. Thank you, Lord, for all you do and how you do it. And, Lord, again, in spite of us, you use us. We praise you and we thank you for that. Give us safety as we depart this place tonight. And Lord, we love you. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.